From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
Welcome to the Confused Room Podcast. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Thank you for tuning in, whatever platform it is you're listening on. Please press subscribe. Give us some comments. That helps us grow the program. We cannot do this thing without you. And welcome to everybody who's watching us live on Facebook. We record this episode every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central. And you can find the link up on our Facebook page.
It's Thursday.
I'm sorry. You're right. It is Thursday.
We have other plans Tuesday night at 8 p.m.
We do two different shows. One's on Tuesday at 8 p.m. The other one is Thursday at 8 p.m.
This one's Thursday.
It is Thursday today. Yeah. You are correct. So you can join us, and you can find the link up on our Facebook page if you ever want to join us live, if you're listening in on the podcast version of it. And it's done with video. So you can see all the stuff we're talking about as we do it. And you can also, of course, rewatch it on the website, confusedroom.com. A little request for everybody who is indeed watching this live right now on Facebook as we do this. Press share for us. That would help us very much. And that's S-H-R-E, not C-H-E-R. Because if you press C-H-E-R, you know what happens on Facebook now?
You turn back time.
It's a new button. It turns back time, and then suddenly share appears in the video. It's like, if I could turn back time.
Yeah.
This is where you do the other part.
No.
If I could find a way, I would take all the words that hurt you. You stay. If I could reach...
Okay. Stop.
There's a whole...
Now I just feel like I have to clean my office.
You really... And if the real share had showed up, you'd probably have to, too.
Yeah.
Lots of Lysol. Lots and lots of it. So today's episode of Confused Room, it's five cabin design ideas.
That's right.
You want to give a little background on this?
Well, we had this one actually come to us. They're from our neck of the woods. So tourist town, they have a cabin that they inherited. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a shack in the woods. It's part of like a kind of resort community. So their cabin looks exactly like every cabin next door and on down the street. And these cabins, you can own them, but you rent them out. And it's a nice little income property, but they want to do that. They want to rent it out, and they need to make it stand out on the vacation rental websites like Vacation Rental by Owner or Airbnb.
Rentmystuff.com.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Sure. So they need to somehow get some ideas, because literally the insides of all these look exactly the same. So they want theirs to stand out, and people say, I want to stay in this one because this one doesn't look like the Wild West from 2006. So
the Wild Wild West.
Right.
Wild.
We put together five different designs. Two of them are very similar because they kind of seemed to like the direction we were going with one of them. So we did two different versions of one. But we're trying to take it from this kind of... It's almost like Mountain Lodge meets Southwest meets Cottage, and trying to make it not be confused and kind of pick a direction and a distinctive feel. And I don't want to say theme because I hate themed rooms. You think of like a...
Like a bad hotel that decided that was kind of going out of business, and they said, you know what we can do to make this place work? I think we should take all of the rooms and we should make them into themes. One's going to be a jungle. One's going to be a courtroom. One's going to be...
A courtroom?
Yeah. A spaceship. I'm just trying... I went to one of those hotels when I was a kid.
Okay.
And as a child, I thought it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then I later in life discovered, oh, the only reason people usually go to those rooms is for some sort of kinky role-playing shit. And I was like, you know, eight, thinking, ooh, neat, these are fun-themed rooms.
Let's definitely avoid that vibe designs.
Yeah, we're not going there at all.
No.
Just thank God my parents didn't bring a black light. That would have been a...
Ew. That's one of those things you just don't want to think about when you're staying someplace.
The funny part about that trip was, it was a family trip, like an extended family trip. It was to Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It was for a wedding of, second cousin, niece or something. They all go to everybody's wedding no matter how distant they are. they do. And it... it was like my aunts, my uncles, us. And so it was like, you know, three or four different couples with their kids. And then they thought, oh, this will be really fun of getting – they discovered this hotel. It was like a Red Roof Inn or something, but it had themed rooms. Oh, this will be real fun getting these themed rooms. And I, honest to God, I do not think any of the adults at this time had anything go through their mind of why hotels have these sort of themed rooms, because it really wasn't like a kid hotel.
Okay.
I just think they just thought, that's neat. That's keen.
I really wasn't aware that that was the reason hotels do that.
I think that's probably why they do that.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's like a Great Wolf or something, and it's like, here's the jungle room. yeah.
Oh, the more you know.
The more you know. Do-do-do-do. And you learned something now tonight too, didn't you?
Yeah. That's stuck.
All right. Well, first...
should we describe the cabin a little bit?
Yeah, we should do that.
Okay. And you can go ahead and put it up.
Yeah, let's show the image of... This is what it is. This is what we're working with. And it's not bad. It's just kind of confused.
It is kind of confused. It's a sea of yellow, I'll be quite honest. The floors are maple, but they're like a really yellow maple, like a high school gym floor. Mm-hmm. You can't really see it from the picture, but there's pine, tongue, and groove on the ceiling. Guess what? It's stained to where it's kind of yellow. Mm-hmm. And so the cabinets, everything in there is pine. It's a pine explosion. Yeah. And then the chandelier, which I'm sure came with the cabin. I don't fault them for having it. It's black iron with little lampshades on it, but it's got moose on it. Mm-hmm. There are not moose in southern Missouri.
That you're aware of.
I'm positive on that. There are no moose in these mountains. So anyway, I think that's one of those things that we can alter and, okay, and go a different direction, but... It's cute, and if it were the only cabin of its kind, it would, mm-hmm, stand out, but it looks exactly like everything else.
And that's true. I took a look online at where this was, uh-huh, and I saw basically everything in the area looks exactly the same. And these are all, for the most part, independently owned, or some people own a couple of them, whatever. But they all look very much, mm-hmm, alike. So the owners, I think their thought process is they want to rent it out. How do I make this thing stand out amongst the sea of pine explosions?
Right. And I think we just try and avoid any more wood added without covering some up.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's just too much wood. And I think one of the things that, well, I know one of the things that they said that they would really like to do is, in the picture, you can see there are upper cabinets that kind of divide the kitchen and living space. And it looks like you would have like a breakfast bar, but you've got these cabinets right in your face that kind of block your view. So you really, if you're, you know, doing something over the holidays up there and you're in the kitchen, or because people do that now, taking vacations, mm-hmm, and cooking,
yeah,
in their condo or whatever, that's a thing. So it blocks your view. It very much separates it, yeah, but yet it's open in between the bottom cabinets and the uppers. So
it looks like a restaurant pass.
Yeah, that needs to come down. Mm-hmm. And part of the challenge was figuring out how to repurpose those upper cabinets to where they really didn't lose any cabinet space, mm-hmm, but it just wasn't the eyesore that it is.
Yeah, because you are, it's a smaller kitchen. You're fairly limited with the kitchen space. And if you are going to be there for the holidays and you do want to cook, mm-hmm, you need somewhat of a kitchen,
right,
beyond just, you know, hotel kitchenette. And this is certainly a step above that. But you take some space away. You got to kind of figure out where you can make up, mm-hmm, for it to keep it a functional kitchen for the space that you need.
So being that this is also kind of our home territory, knowing why people come to this area, mm-hmm, I use that as kind of my basis of how to give these cabins a feel that it kind of mirrors their experience.
Okay.
So I thought people come here for the lakes. Mm-hmm. They come here for the hills, the mountains, and they come here also for that kind of small town, hometown, cozy, mm-hmm, you know, it's very much like living in Mayberry. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the basis for most of the designs, with a couple of tweaks, different, mm-hmm, ways on them. So we can get into those now.
What about dead country stars? Are you going to put dead country stars on the list there and like big mural to somebody?
I was really thinking about putting a great big like mural of Kenny and Dolly singing Islands in the Stream.
They're not dead though.
No, they're not dead, but they're very much what's played on the radio here a lot. Mm-hmm. Like a lot.
I could totally see like an Islands in the Stream like mural, like where it says lake there.
Right.
Just the two of them together.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Or, you know, just make it permanent Christmas with Andy Williams stuff.
What about permanent Christmas room? You could have the whole room be Christmas year round and have Christmas trees.
There's probably a market for that.
Yeah, Andy is dead, so I suppose, you know, you could do something there. That'd be rather interesting.
Okay. So I think they wanted to stick with the same furniture, which I don't blame them. And their furniture is very neutral, so it would work with all of these designs.
So should we go to our first design?
Yes, I think we should.
Can I make a quick Andy Williams reference?
Yeah, you go ahead. I need to take a sip of my wine. Okay.
I was out golfing about with my dad. I don't know. It's been like about a month or so now when he was here, right?
Yeah.
Right around there. We were golfing. And there was an older couple. It was actually two couples that were out there. One was older. One was about our parents' age. They let us play through because it was just me and my dad. And I recognized who it was right away because I've seen him around town and you've seen him around town too. And he looks a lot like his brother.
He looks exactly like his brother.
It was Andy Williams' brother. And so we played through the hole and everything echoes here. Mm-hmm. So you really, if you're going to say something to someone, you really kind of got to be a far distance away. Otherwise, it's amazing how far voice travels. So I didn't say anything to him until we got like way the heck ahead. And I said, did you realize who just let us play through? No, what? I'm like, it was Andy Williams' brother. Really? Like, yeah, I think he lives around here.
He probably does. Yeah. It's just kind of, you definitely do a double take.
You do. Yeah. And then we were up on the green and they were just waiting for us to finish. And then I got my ball in the hole like right away and I just dropped my club and I was like, happy holidays.
No, you
and
didn't.
And I waved, happy holidays. And
I bet he hates that. He's probably heard that shit his whole life.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not Andy. And then he came after me and started like hitting me with a golf club. Just like.
This didn't happen.
It was almost.
This poor gentleman, you are just terrible.
It was like I was Bob Barker and he was Adam Sandler. It was like roles were reversed.
It didn't happen. And he's a very nice gentleman.
But we did see him on the golf course. He did not attack me with a golf club.
You embellished something awful.
Do you ever see Happy Gilmore?
No.
Oh, you got to. That's
I'm
great.
I'm not a huge Adam Sandler
fan. I'm not either, but that's a fun scene with Bob Barker. Okay, so our first space here. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here is the after on this.
Okay, so I know it's kind of everywhere right now, but I did do a farmhouse version because there are tons of farmhouse things here in town. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of pretty popular still. I think it's going to stick around for a while. So I thought, you know, this will stand out for sure against all the other cabins, but people kind of want to, you know, try that out, see if they like it. So we went with kind of a pale blue green on the walls. Went with a definitely have to have some shiplap there. So had that on an accent wall that's straight at the back of where you come in from so that it's one of the first things you see. Lower cabinets we painted black. Upper cabinets that we left are white, but then we did take some of the cabinets down and did open shelving, so that even made the kitchen feel even bigger. And that was on the far wall where we, you know, are opposite of where we took the cabinets down to open up that space in between the two rooms. So I know that's kind of hard to understand, but opened it up, left the shiplap that they had above the fireplace in the stone, but also lightened the ceiling with doing kind of a whitewash treatment on the wood. Mm-hmm. So you still see the grain, but you aren't, you know, overcome by the yellow. And then added a couple of beams, and they could be faux beams, but if you add them against the white, you really have that kind of feeling of the ceiling being a little bit lower and a little bit cozier feel. Mm-hmm. It's an optical kind of illusion thing.
Sure.
And then changed out the light fixture, just went with another black iron fixture, but nothing with mousse or lampshades and something, you know, that's not going to collect a lot of dust. All these things that we've done are meant for being easier upkeep for having people come and stay. So like the laminate countertops, we put in solid surface in every one of the designs. We added a backsplash, took out the 12 by 12 floor tile that was the backsplash before. One thing that I really thought was important and kind of wanted to stress to them was they have hardwood floors in this cabin. Hardwood floors need to be taken care of and maintained. So I thought it might be wise to go ahead and maybe put over top of the hardwood floors a floating waterproof wood look floor. And that could, you know, change with whatever feel they wanted to go with. That way they weren't having to refinish these floors if something does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because things happen and people come with their kids and you don't want to have to be worried about, oh, how are these floors doing?
Mm-hmm.
So not only does it protect the floors for resale later, but it's also something that really can't be messed up if you go over the top. And it's really thin. So you're not adding a lot of height there. It's just an extra layer of protection.
And that's an interesting thing because I've never done a rental or dealt with that. And it's something that interests me. And I wonder about some of the things you put into them.
Mm-hmm.
When you're about to prepare for renters, that some are lovely and great, some very hard on things. Are you better to be putting in things that are it probably depends on the product, but I'll just ask a question and then you can say what it would be depending on the product. Are you better to be putting in things that are almost more expensive, but more sturdy, or are you, which still could potentially get screwed up, or are you better putting in lesser cost things that if they get screwed up, not a big deal to replace?
It depends on where it is. You know, I've said several times, my whole start in this industry began with working in flooring for a long time. And one of the things that I did was a lot of, you know, apartment turnover.
Yeah.
And hotel turnover.
Sure.
And assisted living turnover. So they're changing out their floors constantly because that's the thing that gets hands down the most beating.
Yeah.
Besides walls. But, you know, walls are easy to fix and just touch up paint. Floors take the greatest beating. I mean, hardwood floors are a great investment if you are the one that's going to be taking care of them.
Because
they need, you know, that you have to clean them a certain way. I mean, and if you don't, they're going to start looking pretty rough and you have to refinish them. I think it's better to put in a quality product that can take a beating, like some of the waterproof vinyl products, you know, and not worry about it. But like the countertops, laminate, yeah, that's the cheapest thing. But that's also something that can get easily ruined. Somebody sets down a hot pot on it. Somebody sets down a curling iron on it. You want something solid that's not going to be an issue.
Sure, but not necessarily top of the line where it's going to be, well, that's a lot of money to replace, but something that can stand up to the careless hot pot.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that could be like a Corian type product, which is a solid surface, but it's not necessarily, you know, it's not granite, which, you know, if you crack your granite or nick your granite, there's no repair.
Yeah.
Things like Corian and some of these manufactured solid surfaces, they can be repaired.
Okay.
So that's something to keep in mind.
Okay. I mean, like you were saying with the floor, too. I mean, that's it, even though it already does have hardwood floors in there, that gets screwed up. Good luck.
Think of it as like the attractive way to put plastic over furniture, like our grandparents
used to. Yeah, I mean, it really kind of is.
It is. It's protecting that, but it's not a tacky way. There's no way they're going to know that there's hardwood under that.
And then if you ever decide, hey, I'm done renting this, I want my hardwoods back, rip that pop-it stuff
up. You haven't messed with your resale value.
And it's right there again and back. It's never got screwed up. Okay.
Right.
Interesting. And like it really does probably depend on the object we're talking about.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, where you're talking there. What about appliances on that? For, you know, ovens, dishwashers, things of that nature. Fridges.
I don't honestly know. Because on one end, you know, you've got places they'll put in things like Whirlpool and name brands.
Yeah.
And on the other end, you've got like apartments where they put in Hotpoint. And that's my point of reference is like, you know, you do you want to spend the money and hope it's taken care of, that people don't abuse it, or do you want to just be like, okay, whatever, I'll just get a new one?
It probably just depends really how much you expect it to really be used. Because if it is a hot point, I mean, if it's barely used ever, probably will last quite a long time. You know, in anything, it just really depends, like I said, on how often it's being used and what is the potential for damage.
Sure.
It takes quite a bit of work to, I think, damage a stove or something. I mean, depending on what you're depending on what you're doing. I've wondered about those things. So it's probably a common question. Let's go to our next space here in the before and after of it. I think we'll do this one.
And when I suggested, let's look at an option where we do still keep Mountain Lodge in the field, they're kind of like, oh, I think they thought I was going to throw a whole bunch of like log furniture in there that's all got the burls on it
and stuffed goats.
No, there's a way to do that and make it feel a lot more modern. So granted, this is the same room, but what we did was we lightened the ceilings with a gray wash, which is like a whitewash, but you use gray paint watered down. Still did dark beams, did a dark beam on the fireplace, and did kind of a medium brown tone on the floors. Didn't do any white shiplap. In fact, the shiplap that's there over the fireplace, I suggested we take down and replace with kind of a plank wall that's got varying shades of different wood tones, from grays to browns, nothing yellow. The lightest would be kind of just an unfinished wood. And then also do that on the accent wall and the very back. Again, that's a focal point as you walk in. The walls are painted. I think I used the color Texas leather for the by Benjamin Moore for the picture here. But anything in that kind of mushroomy taupe dirt kind of color kind of gives that feel, and it goes really, really well with the wood. And then the cabinets, I wanted to be a pop of color and kind of went with a dark sage type green. So it's not a forest green and it's not a grass green or a sage green, but it's a dark sage green.
And that really kind of gives it some of the mountainy element as well as the wood, of course.
Right. I know a lot of times you think mountain stuff, you think, oh, you got to have some red in there. There's no red in this, but I still think it very much conveys that feel. Now, for the trim, I decided instead of doing like a white trim that's going to stand out, we did black and black doors. And part of the reason is that's going to hide a lot of wear and tear.
Sure.
We have black doors in our house, and I really love it.
Yeah, and that's something that really not many people had been doing until the last year or so.
And it wasn't like my original idea or anything. I saw somebody do it, and I thought, that makes a lot of sense, and I really like the look of it.
And it really, it pops. It pops just as much as like a white door.
Right.
And when it fits, I think the black fits like this sort of a feel much better than even the white. And this is a way you can really do kind of that Mountain Lodge feel without everything being rustic timbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that whole look.
Right.
And if you like that look, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, like I said, what we're trying to do here on this episode and with this design is go away from it, because everyone is doing it. So how do you do another take on a nice lodge type feel, but in a different direction?
And these are all colors. I literally looked out my window and drew inspiration from the colors of the stone that you see, the trees, everything. These are all colors that you're going to very much see in the environment where this cabin is. So I thought, you know, that to me felt more like the Ozark Mountains than all the other stuff.
Sylvia says, rentals are tough because people don't care because it's not their home. I clean cabin rentals, so I suggest don't go expensive on appliances.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I probably agree.
Yeah.
On that that topic. Should we go to our next space?
Yeah.
Okay. This next one, you call it the what?
I call it the lake house, and this is Lake House 1, because they really kind of liked the lake house idea. So we've got two slightly different versions, but with this, went with a kind of almost sun-bleached wood color on the floor. It's very light and airy, whitewashed the ceiling, and then kept the beams like we've used in the other designs, but they are more of a driftwood color, so they're kind of a gray beige kind of wood. The walls are a deep kind of moody blue, which is kind of a middle blue, but not like overpowering, like a blue crayon kind of color. did a wainscoting. It's actually a shiplap wainscoting, but anything like that or beadboard about halfway up the wall kind of gives it that nautical feel. Mm-hmm. The cabinets are all white. There are open shelvings flanking the back window, but we went with kind of a gray countertop. It could be concrete. It could be like a gray corian, a quartz, something that just kind of, you know, meshed with the blues and the natural tones. And then the back wall is a full wall of shiplap. So it's kind of, you know, a little bit of the farmhouse feel, but the blues and the bolder color make it have more of a nautical feel.
I like it. I mean, to me, it's like a cross between like New England and farmhouse. Mm-hmm. Or a New England farmhouse, if you will.
Yeah.
Which I mean, do exist.
It could be. It's just kind of a, you know,
coastal.
It feels like you're in a lake town, and mm-hmm. this is a lake town.
Yeah. So I like this one a lot. The next one that we have here, should I bring that one up?
Sure.
Okay. The next one here, fairly similar. This is actually just kind of a variation on it. We were playing with it the other night.
Right.
And you would show me the one that you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let's put cabinets back in.
Sure.
Because I'm really curious how that would look, but let's make them black. Because I thought maybe a little more pop in the back in the kitchen mm-hmm. with some of the black color would be nice. And you did it, and I like it.
But you like
but I think I actually, you know, this is why having a design, you know, program of some sort is so nice, because I could see without having that, you know, if you go into this project or something and you're like, okay, I like that, but let's do it this way instead. You end mm-hmm. up going, oh, wait, I yeah. should have done it the other way. You can get you can make the error without the expense.
Without the pain.
Exactly.
I hate that.
Because it's one thing when it's in your head. Mm-hmm. It's another when you actually see it.
Can you put these two side by side?
Yeah, let me do that.
The only thing that changed in this one was the black cabinetry. And when you look at them side by side, you know, your eye does go straight back to the black cabinets, whereas the one with the open shelving, it doesn't so much. It's not mm-hmm. an automatic pull back there. And it feels a little bit more open and airy.
It does. I mean, it's amazing how much more open it makes it feel with the cabinets being open.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, on the one we looked at previously, it's a white cabinet. There is still a white cabinet in this picture. It's and like, where's Waldo? Where is it?
It blends into the shiplap.
Yeah. It's on the far left.
Right.
Because that's where we're making up for the cabinets that have been taken down in the middle, where there was kind of that restaurant pass. Now it's an open.
Yeah. And those are actually just repurposed upper cabinets. They're only 12 inches wide, which mm-hmm. was all that could fit right there. But if you, you know, put countertop on there, backsplash and crown on top, it looks like it's a built-in part of the kitchen that was always there.
Sure. And then you pop over to the one that has the cabinetry in. It's amazing how much the cabinets can really fill up a room.
Yeah, very much.
Even though they're really, you're not really, you know, gaining any space or losing any space. Mm-hmm. Shelves are still there. But it's the perception.
It's very visual.
Yeah, it very much is. So that's between those two, our favorite is the first one. I would say for me, this is my favorite of them thus far.
Yeah, we'll just have to see which one they end up going with.
Yeah. Okay, then in the last design here that we have would be this one right here.
And it's another kind of take on a lake house, except it's more of coastal colors. Mm-hmm. So they're a little bit bolder. They're not quite as subdued. The cabinets are kind of it's in fact a green called coastal plain. And then the walls are more of a medium teal, which is called peacock plume, with a wainscoting that goes a little bit higher up because the wall color is quite a bit darker to just kind of offset it. But everything else is pretty much the same. There is kind of a wall that juts out that divides the kitchen and the living space. And instead of painting it, we decided in this one just to leave it white, just to kind of be a little bit of an interest focal point.
It becomes an accent.
Yeah, almost. It does. This one, I actually, because they weren't real sure if they wanted to cover up their floors, left the yellow maple floors. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I had to work around. And that's why I chose the colors I did, because they played well with the yellow tones. But the ceiling, again, is whitewashed. I think no matter which design they go with, they're going to be doing something to the ceiling.
I'm really surprised how well that yellow works in this. Mm-hmm. It really does. I thought, you know, almost all the existing wood would need to be covered up to make it really work. But that really does look nice with this palette.
Yeah, the yellow tones work well with the green blues.
Let's talk about the whitewashing, right, of the...
Yeah.
The roof. Because it's all covered in the wood and the pine. How do you go about doing that? Is that wood up there, and we don't know for sure, but in something like this, would it typically be sealed? Can you just go right on it and start doing the whitewash? Does something have to be done to the wood to get the whitewash to take effect?
That is a really good question. Chances are they're probably going to need some sort of professional to come in and do that. But if the wood's not sealed, you could probably try and do it. It's probably back-breaking labor to mm-hmm. get up there and be on a ladder working on an angled ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's more so they need to just try an inconspicuous spot to see how well these washes take to it. If not, then they're looking at having to probably do some sanding.
Because there's no all-around answer to that question. It depends on the situation of what was used.
Right, okay. Right.
I did not know that.
Yeah, if it's really glossy, chances are they're going to need to do some sanding to get it, mm-hmm. you know, down. If it's just stained, mm-hmm. then maybe not. Maybe this could be just wiped on and wiped off.
Wipe on.
I know. Wipe off.
Just like that. All right. Of all of them, which one do you like best?
I'm really between two of them. I always love farmhouse, but I'm kind of gearing towards something different these days. So I think probably lake house number one is my favorite.
I could have set it up like this. Here we go. So these two.
Those two are my favorite.
The one on the right is your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like the lighter tones and the way it feels more open.
Mm-hmm. I like the, I agree. I like, so which one? You're talking?
My favorite one is that.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. Okay. The one on the right. Yeah. So I would agree. I like the, because you said lighter tones, and I'm just looking at the paint, so I'm thinking darker.
Well, the floors are lighter, the ceiling's lighter, there's accent walls.
So that's lighter down. We're just looking at different lighter points
in
the picture. I like the pop of the color. That's what really, I think, makes it for me in that one. But you're right, it is offset. It's funny because it's balanced back and forth in two different ways. Mm-hmm. And one stood out to you more than it did to me and vice versa. I do like, I would agree. I think we're on the same page as to which design would be our preference.
Yeah.
So I like that.
So hopefully they'll pick one and let us know. And then we can start doing the sketches for the rest of the cabin because
there's bedrooms.
Bedrooms and bathrooms and all, you know. Gotta do some bathrooms. Those are fun.
Yeah, with murals. That's where the murals can go. That's where the country music murals can go of the area.
Nope.
Other than Dolly and Kenny, what other murals would you put up
in the, I was joking. I wouldn't even do that.
I would.
No. I am not a big fan of murals. I used to paint some and did some murals, and they're a lot of work. And I don't want to do any murals.
What sort of murals did you paint?
Well, I painted the murals in the kids.
Well, sure.
But once in my high school days when I was in studio art, I did storefronts.
Okay.
And it was a whole shopping strip. Mm-hmm. And it was for the city festival because the city festival was in the parking lot.
Sure.
So they wanted their windows festive. And that was a lot of work.
How did you make it festive? Like what was the mural of?
It was more like Kansas kind of stuff, which is a stretch to make it really...
so many horrible...
I know.
I'm thinking
It wasn't all the serial killers or any of the disasters or anything like that.
It's like it's a tornado coming towards the town.
No, it was not that.
And the serial killers looking down on the city.
No.
It would be very much like the mural that was in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was like some sort of horrible thing, and it's in City Hall.
Parks and Rec reminds me a lot of those days.
Yeah, so. that would have been a great mural. All right. I think that wraps up our program for this evening.
I think so.
What do we have coming up on future episodes?
Well, if I ever get a day where it's not too damp to work in the garage, I'm trying to get that finished.
Sure.
Hopefully by the next episode.
And we have been getting some progress on that. We got a floor sealed. You got some of it painted.
Right.
You got a bit of the wall trim. It's really going to be a cool garage mm-hmm. once it's done. It's going to be quite a nice workshop space. And I'm amazed like what the sealant did and the staining that we've done in there so far.
I'm excited. I'm just ready for it to be done at this point.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over it. And the weather's not been cooperating. So it's been really, really, really humid because it's been raining solid.
Yeah.
So if I put paint up, it's going to stay wet all day and I'm not going to get a second coat. So I'm going to wait till it dries a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be pretty.
You know, the rain was good for one thing today when I planted the tree.
Oh, it got me a tree for Mother's Day. It's a little bit early, but it was so weird. It came in this box. Like you would think like a curtain rod would come in. It was like this square box, but it was about 8 feet long.
Yeah.
And there's this little tree all bunched up in there.
Who would have known like you could get a tree in the mail?
It was awesome. It's a tree that we couldn't buy here. It was a mayhaw tree because I love mayhaw jelly. So I wanted to grow a mayhaw tree so we can try making our own.
And the interesting thing is mayhaw, I mean, tell everybody what that is exactly.
It's a mayhaw thorn tree and it's in the crabapple family and it's got these little red berries that mm-hmm. you can make jelly out of it. And I'm from East Texas and that's like a thing. And I never imagined when mm-hmm. you leave East Texas, you leave mayhaw jelly. And mm-hmm. I think there's other places. Well, I know there's other places in the South that, you know, they can grow them and make jelly out of them. But I used to have to get it when I'd go see my grandmother, but haven't been over to where she would get it in a while. So
yeah,
I thought, let's just do this. Let's just try making it.
It's a very regional tree mm-hmm. for down there. And I think the interesting thing is I started doing some research on it to see, well, I was assuming because I'd never seen one up here or heard of one up here. It must be just there. Like that's the only place it grows, you know, like a pineapple or something where it's like it only has a very select area. But doing some research on it, it can grow even far northern areas of here. So I was like, oh my gosh, but like nobody does it.
Well, it's kind of like crawfish.
Yeah.
You know, we eat stuff down there. We eat stuff that we find down there.
You know, what's funny is there's so many things just in life in general where we seem to be a little bit ahead of trends. And it's just at random. It's like, oh, I'm interested in this. This would be fun. I'd like to do this. I'm wondering after I got that tree the other day and did that research going, oh, you can plant this in other places. If that's going to be one of them where like a couple years from now, it's like, oh, we start seeing them other places and the jelly starts popping up. And it's like, how random is that?
I'd be okay with it. We suck at making mayhaw jelly, then at least I could buy it.
We can get it then. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to order it from Etsy.
Sure.
So,
I mean, and in no way am I saying like we've influenced anything. It's just, it just seems to be random luck.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, that's weird that. You know, just at random, we thought of doing this, and then that seems to happen. But I'm excited. The tree's planted. It worked great because it's rained all day, so I could really dig into our hard soil, which is just filled with rocks everywhere.
Has anybody even heard of it? Have they said anything?
Nobody has mentioned anything relating to mayhaw jelly yet.
It's good stuff, y'all.
I've never had it yet, but there's some coming in the mail. So
yeah.
I'm guessing it should be arriving any day now. It
should be, yeah.
Next week on the show, we're not going to have wine. We're just going to have a glass of mayhaw jelly. And we're going to like heat it up in the microwave so it gets to be like wine consistency. Oh. And we're just going to drink it.
That stuff would burn you if you heated that up in the microwave.
Mmm, hot mayhaw. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for the comments. Please do subscribe and press that subscribe button, whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for watching another episode of Confused Room.